top of the hour. So it's very respectful.
Yes, no, no.
Very respectful. He has.
That's true. We have kept him late more than once.
That's right. Stephen Brunt, though, we'll keep him for as long as we bloody well please, because that's how it goes.
Have you ever had a beard like Elliot had?
No, I would aspire to have a beard like that. And he grew that in like 7 weeks. It just like I know it's not a marketable skill necessarily, but it is. You know, God love him. Like that thing, he looked like the Unabomber, right? And he did it like he was clean shaven, presumably on free agent day, right?
Yes.
So he's clean shaven on the 1st of July, and 6 or 7 weeks later, he looked like that.
And what's,
he looked like someone who'd been lost in the woods for a considerable amount of time. So I give him credit for that.
And for a guy that no one classifies as a manly man, I mean, he's a softy.
That's not true. That's not true.
I mean, the entire hockey world looks at Elliot Friedman, and no one says, well, there goes a man's man.
I think they're missing something all there. Right. He's a good University of Western Ontario. I knew Elliot when he was a young lad there at the newspaper at the University of Western Ontario. I went down and mentored him. Look what he's turned into.
Could you mentor me?
Well, I can work on that.
I'll tell you what.
I need some mentoring.
Talking about facial hair, Warner, and I'm trying to, it's the follicle per square inch of his upper lip.
I've got a great stash.
He's and the distance from the bottom of the nostril to the
lip.
To the top of the lip, it's like a billboard. It's incredibly huge and dense. It's very creepy when he starts to grow the mustache.
Is it just the stash?
Yeah, the rest of it is.
It gets a little patchy
on
the cheeks.
Not impressive.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the stash is wonderful.
Ooh, the stash is.
Because the stash by itself is a bit of a statement.
I saw a guy, where was I the other day? We were out for lunch or something. Yeah, my wife and I were out for lunch, and we saw a guy with just a thick, nice, classy stash. It was like, and we couldn't stop staring.
Yeah, Burt Reynolds look. It's not, you don't see it very often. Mm-hmm.
I went out one night to an event, and Rhett showed up with his lovely wife, and you were wearing like a crushed velvet jacket, and you had grown your mustache. You had grown the full facial and then trimmed it into the mustache.
It's my birthday.
You looked, it was quite something, Stephen.
Yeah.
Is that what it was? Like, it was a purple velvet coat.
We were at a boxing event.
You were dressed right up to the nines, and then the mustache. I
have a picture in my head that won't go away.
It's good.
I've got a picture of you in my gym. I think I told you that before.
Yeah?
You'd written an article on some Toronto paper. I don't know which one, but. And my brother, I was on the front cover with Corson slashing me.
So my presence is coincidental, is what you're saying.
But it's inspiring nonetheless.
But inspiring nonetheless. That's good.
So you're already mentoring me.
What possibly could have been the genesis of the article?
The caption was, "Forget about talent." I'm not lying.
Some things write themselves. Anyway, Stephen.
Yes, sir.
How, you can point, you can laugh, but we've kind of gone through the full range of emotions this morning. We debated the merits of the trade. Could they have gotten more? And we've now just gotten to the point where all you can say is, for the Ottawa Senators, it's just no good for anyone.
Yeah, like what they got, talk to me in 2 years or 3 years or whatever, but which is the standard response, right? When you trade away present for future and you hope they hit on draft picks and you don't know where those draft picks are going to be. And I'm not sure they could have, I assume they would have done better if they could have done better, but you're trading with your back against the wall. You're trading a guy that doesn't want to sign an extension, that wants to go to market. There are a limited number of potential landing spots for him, and everybody knows you've got to move him. And you're trying to move him before today, essentially, before training camp opens, before they take the ice. And it's a terrible situation. And there's no way you can go to a fan base and say, but look at what we got. They might hit on a pick. They might get lucky. 3 years from now, things might be looking up. But when you trade away, the best player in franchise history, and everybody knows this season's going to be awful, and never mind your ridiculous clown owner this week just saying we're going to put a bunch of young guys together and they're going to try really hard. So you got a cynical, beaten down marketplace. Even though these guys were within a goal of being in the Stanley Cup Final, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it was. But yeah, people are. It's an awful time to be a Senators fan. There's not, and all you're doing is looking ahead and seeing, well, you know, Stone and Duchesne. Well, yeah, they're here, but they're not going to want to be here. No one's going to want to be here, and it's there's an inevitability about it. But it's not. Look, it's not just them. Like, the Toronto Blue Jays had to trade away Roy Halladay, right? That's because Roy Halladay finally said, "Get me out of here." And you know, a Hall of Fame pitcher, best pitcher in the history of the franchise, maybe, you know, maybe Dave Steeb was. It's pretty close. But you know, and you can say, "Well, look at these prospects we got. These guys could be great someday." Now, none of them turned out to be great. You know, you can kind of look at the tree of that trade and find some glimmers of light. But basically, you traded away a great player for a bag of magic beans, and that's what happens. It's really, really depressing if you're a fan of that team. And you know, it's no point in being rational, because rational doesn't make it feel any better.
No, and it happens. We were saying that if you don't want to call it a rebuild, then don't call it a rebuild. But they need to, and probably the sooner the better, get so much youth in there that you can somehow embrace a misfit type of a feel that Vegas had. Get so many young guys in
Bad
there
news bears.
That are just so happy to be in the NHL and on the charters and living that life that maybe you get some success by enthusiasm.
Here's another problem, though. That coach doesn't play enthusiastic.
Yeah, you got to let him go. And he probably won't care.
Yeah, there is that.
You can't have a trapping coach.
And do you think, I just think pointing to Vegas and saying, why don't we be like that? Like, no one's ever been like that. Like, no one's ever done what those guys did. To go, you've had teams that kind of coalesced without superstars and played well for a stretch, but no one's ever had a full season-long run all the way to the Stanley Cup Final with a roster like that before.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a one. So let's just say that's magical. Like that's just like that's something you know you'll tell your grandchildren about. But
well, I'll be honest, that's all I got.
Yeah,
I don't know what else they're gonna do.
Better either. You know, like it's because I guess you can aspire to something that's completely unlikely. But you know, mostly what happens if you tear down and you have a less talented team and you say let's try harder, boys, is that you know. It works over the short term sometimes, but more talented teams generally win. It's funny that way.
It is,
You know, and teardowns. The teardown rebuild thing is great if you get lucky with a draft pick. You can look like a genius, right?
And it's a draft pick they don't have. That's the biggest.
Well, and then there's that one. Yes, we didn't even mention that, which is perhaps the ultimate kind of gut punch of this is that when they finished last overall this year. Colorado's going to get a really good player. They're going to get a generational player.
I don't know why they did not give that pick this year. I know Brady Tkachuk is likely going to be a very fine hockey player.
Yes.
But man, if the math does what the math does, like you say, you're giving up a potential. I don't know what they're in many cases. I don't know what they're thinking.
No. And you know, look, you know the way this is playing out. You know that's exactly what's going to happen. This is one of those fate things. You know that is exactly how this is going to play out.
And they could have saved face by doing it. Because no one would care right now if they didn't have Brady Tkachuk.
You'd have your own first this year. You've already now got San Jose's first. You'll probably get more picks. You could head into this off season being like, okay, we took our lumps, but we are reshaping this entire team. We're going to have the first overall pick, blah, blah, blah. But now you just don't.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, you're right. All of that is correct,
what?
And you know, and that one guy could accelerate this turnaround rather dramatically. Whereas you know, three guys from the back end of the first round or two guys from the back end of the first round, I'm sure they'll get some very fine hockey players out of this. But if you know you want to jumpstart this thing, what you're hoping is you land on a not to cite the Toronto Maple Leafs Stanley Cup champions 2019 right now, but they had their 1 year of tankage and they had their bad news Bears lineup and it achieved exactly what it was because the fix was in, but it achieved exactly what it was supposed to do. It got them Austin Matthews, right? It lined up perfectly. They made some other nice picks, but they got their guy, and that did speed things up rather efficiently. I these guys, I just see them kind of spinning their wheels for God knows how long. Because you're going to do the flip side of it is, of course, you're going to have the attendance, which is always precarious in Ottawa, is going to tank. So the revenues are going to tank. It's a bad, bad spiral to be in, and you know, with an owner that's, you know, all over the place, and no one trusts him. They need to get an arena built. No one trusts him. He's going to have a hard time convincing politicians or convincing investors. It's not just, you know, it's not just that you had to trade Eric Carlson. It's everything that goes around it too. So yeah, I feel for folks there. I think they've. You know, Ottawa Senators fans get a pretty bad rap sometimes because they don't fill the building up every night. But I think, you know, by and large, you think of how that team started. Think of kind of what it was from the very beginnings. They've had to watch some pretty horrible stuff. And they, you know, they've had their moments, and they got to the Stanley Cup final, and they have had that as well. But I'm not sure anybody really deserves this.
Stephen Brunn is our guest here on Boomer and Warner in the Morning. I wanted to ask you, while you brought up, it's not on your list, but you said new arena and that kind of Pavlovian thing here. The committee that is at least entertaining or trying to create some enthusiasm for a potential Olympic bid released some documents this week about what would be entailed in a bid, and it does not include a new NHL rink. It does not include a new football stadium or anything of that. They're talking about a potential revamping of the dome. There would be a 5,000 to 6,000 seat arena that would be built, and then even the mayor has said, I don't really know what that would serve a purpose. Once the games are done, there would be a revamping of McMahon. I know where you sit on the Olympic thing, but I can't help but wonder if all of a sudden people in town here, at least people that we've talked to, if there's no new rink, then we're really out. Like, we were maybe, we maybe think and listen if there was a new rink or a new, if there was some kind of an impressive legacy left. But now it's $5 billion and no new rink and no new stadium.
And not hosting everything.
And potentially not hosting everything. They may, again, that's for discussion, but there's already been talk of potential skiing in BC and curling out of the city.
Edmonton, right? Yeah. No, it's...
it's gotten worse. Like, it sounds worse than it did before, and it wasn't great in the first place.
Well, it's what Olympic bids are going to... You know, number one, that's kind of what Olympic bids are going to look like most places. Well, most places that are democracies, that's what an Olympic bid's going to look like these days. That, you know, the build it all from scratch, build great monuments, build all kinds of brick-and-mortar facilities specifically for an Olympics. I don't think it's going to happen anymore. You know, you see what the price tag is without that. So the price tag with that would be, it would be unsellable. You can pull that off in Russia because there's not a whole lot of accountability issues there because you're only accountable to one guy. And that's his, you know, that was his summer playground. So the Sochi stuff didn't matter what it cost. But this is what an Olympic bid is going to look like in a democracy. Now, to get an arena out of this, or to get something out of this, is going to be, it is not going to be specific to the Olympic bid will not live or die on that. It'll have to be some kind of a side deal. You know, it'll be a separate thing that would be justified in some level by the Olympics, but not funded by the Olympic bid. So I guess a rough parallel would be, you know, the SkyTrain that was built in Vancouver from the airport, or the Sea to Sky Highway redo, which, you know, those were not part of the Olympic bid, but they were done in conjunction with the Olympics, and so you had the political cover essentially, which is, you know, means you can go and say, hey, we got to do this because we're going to be hosting the Olympics. We need these things, and it allows, you know, politicians to go in with some cover and say this is necessary now. And you end up getting things that you need. In both those cases, those are really good things for the city of Vancouver and environs. They needed those things. So that's, you know, this, I think you're, again, if that's going to happen, it will be, it's a next step. And whether that, you know, whether that creates enough cover for the Flames and the city and whoever else would be a stakeholder, whether that's the province or the feds, whoever else might be a stakeholder in that arena, whether this creates enough cover for them to go in and say, well, we're going to, you know, what our discussions before were before there was an Olympic bid, but now there, you know, now this is, And again, whether that happens, do you have to get the Olympics in order for that discussion to happen? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
But I I'm not surprised it's not directly attached to the bid. I guess that's the short answer, because I don't think you can do that anymore. But that doesn't mean that it couldn't be piggybacked onto the bid.
It's hilarious because now the whole Calgary Next thing, which was going to be in the West Village, and it's a rink, and it's a football, and it's all of this. Like, some people are like, well, how much was that? Even if that's $2 billion, it's better than $5 billion for some 10-day extravaganza where we may or may not get a rink or a stadium.
Well, and, you know, look, those are legitimate questions, right? Look, you should think about where the money's going to go. It's easy to, you know, conceive the Olympics as, you know, in emotional terms and in patriotic terms and you know, kind of fresh-faced young athletes and legacy and inspiring youth and all of that stuff. But, you know, there's a bottom line discussion that should be had anytime we get into this. You know, it's a business proposition, and other people are going to profit from it. Lots of other people are going to profit from it. You know, most notably the IOC. So people should take a hard look at it. And, you know, and look, I'm not saying that other stuff doesn't matter. Like, that stuff has value. I think we all agree that it has value. It just depends on how much value you want to, acknowledge. How much value you actually believe is there in those kind of intangibles. You know, if you talk to somebody the day after Vancouver Whistler was over, they would say, can I write a check right now? But the farther away you get from these things, you kind of step back and you're a little more calm and rational. People who run bids count on people being emotional, count on pride kicking in, count on all of those Olympic feels kicking in. That's how this thing works. That's why this thing's been as successful as it has. It's your money. So, it's your money, and you should think about what you want. I'm speaking you, the city of Calgary. You guys should think about it. You know, it's pretty straightforward what you're going to get. You've done it before. You know what it's like. You know, it's great. It's a blast. 17-day party. It's the greatest party in the world. And you got some lovely facilities out of it last time. But, yeah, I think everybody should be, should try and measure the emotional punch of it with the real cost.
Stephen, we're out of time, but thank you. Are you going to watch the Ticats Stampeders?
I will watch the Ticats Stampeders, indeed, and then I will watch the boxing match tomorrow night, Canelo Golovkin boxing match.
So you're not going to
Mind Sports Day.
You're not going live.
Who do we like?
Going to the stadium to watch?
I'm not. No, I will be watching it. I cannot watch it live, so I will not be in the flesh. But I will be watching on television. I like Canelo in the fight. Mm-hmm. Red, since you asked, and I say that with some regret because I love Golovkin.
That was a great fight. The last.
It was close. Yeah, I think Golovkin's lost a step though, and we'll see what. Although I haven't seen Canelo fight without PEDs, so maybe he'll lose a step too.
We all do. Tacos. It's fine.
Yeah, we all do. Thanks, Stephen.
See you, boys.
Stephen Brunt.